we got.
We do.
You are a phone call person.
Yeah,
like more so than the normal.
I'll call you because I don't want to text. Yeah. I don't like texting like that. Yeah, man.
You wouldn't text me that you caught a foul ball. You wouldn't text me a picture from your favorite player.
I feel like I could tell you that in person.
It could wait though.
It could wait. It sounds
like it can't wait over there.
I don't think I could call you and tell you. Yeah, I think the whole conversation they've had thus far, like definitely.
Have you ever called me while you were stuffing groceries in your mouth?
That's exactly what he said, which is crazy because it's El Pollo Grill. That's not.
I got this Mexican salad. Go down real smooth.
Pardon the interruption. My father is in his own house, so let me not get him all the way messed up. He's in his own house on the phone in the kitchen right now, living his best life. I'm whispering.
Giving up your business too.
Yeah.
And giving up location, your location, yeah, your previous location.
They always do that, like when you're there. You know. Oh, you know,
we probably gonna be doing that when the kids is older.
I try to stay away from that because I grew up in it. You know what I mean? I hate talking about, like, the sports stuff. We talk about it, like, on here or whatever because, you know, that's us, you know, talking about it. But I don't just be going everywhere like, oh, man, this is weird. Because when people tell me, like, what's going on with their kids, if they're not in my friend circle, I don't give a damn.
I think he was calling all his friends to brag about how many miles he done on a bike today.
He went through all
and now
his
that
rounds.
You told me that he just called someone who couldn't even walk to talk about how much he biked.
And then invited him to a game. No, a damn one of them seats is in the nosebleeds too, man. Oh, man. We're back, man. After a week hiatus, we're feeling recharged. I felt recharged. We'll talk about my experiences because I got a great story to tell y'all. But we're back. Lex looked like he was living his best life out on vacation. When I was caught in a rainstorm, I was catching up on, you know, all of my social media stuff I had missed over time. But it was a good time, man. I had a great time and everything, and we'll get way more in depth into it. Go ahead, Lex, start us off, man. Well, let's get to it, man. I'm ready. We got a lot to get to, a little bit of time. You know, we all got places to be, people to see. I don't care where you are. You could be at your mama's house, your grandma's house, your auntie's house, in your living room, driving to work, because work is back, sitting in traffic, living your best life, listening to J. Cole, whatever it may be. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us.
No matter how long it takes.
Thank you.
All right.
Welcome to You Wasn't Outside Podcast, episode...
38 Special.
38 Special.
Spiraling up, just like a rich nigga staircase. No fly zone, please stay the fuck out my airspace.
Okay.
Niggas say things behind backs that they wouldn't dare say.
Go cold.
Know it's on sight when I see you, I'm working at Squarespace.
Yeah, top of the morning, I know that you thought I was dormant. Woke up early from shots that was swarming, a block from the ops, not a cops in the orbit. Cause somebody got popped, now they knocking on doors, trying to find an informant. But I ain't seen Nathan, I'm minding my business, it's got them a witness. The weapon gon' prosper, that's forming against me. Nigga, I'm starving immensely. Know when I'm done with these songs, you gon' miss me. John Moran, I'm on my grizzly. You niggas just cuz, but no, not the ones in the big leagues. After the fall off, I promise I'm coming and selling out Wrigley's. Nigga, I'm just a product of poverty, full of narcotics to profit off quickly. My family tree got a history of users that struggle with demons. Not really the hustler instincts. Therefore, often my pockets was empty. So while some of my partner was serving up racks on the corners of Project Assembly,
nah, I'm good.
Me, I was starting to envy. Wanna be on the top where it's plenty. Wanna be in a spotlight where every bitch wanna be like Rihanna dropping new 50.
What I see in the sky, the
villas of silicon, reach up to evidently. I can't reach up to evidently. Never seen no one driving a Bentley. I can't be out here mopping up Wendy's.
My life is
shout out to Moray the One. This is my guy right here. I mess with Moray.
And I done made it out.
That's my guy. I like his album.
What you saying now won't budge me. Cause where I come from,
going to my guy who does the same exact thing.
People you grow with laying in a coffin. But I done made it through the pain and strife. It's my time now, my world, my life, my life.
My life. Baramach. Ayatollah.
This is my guy.
This is your guy right here.
Double R.
We still come out with music?
Carol Mach, he just dropped something.
Oh, he did?
Yes, sir.
You know what's crazy?
Let him try.
You ain't gonna play not one R&B song.
Shout out to 13.
My life is all I have. My rhymes, my pen, my pen.
You don't like renditions, I can tell.
Struggle,
he takes it very hard. He don't like renditions.
Cause where I come from, so
We back in the studio. It's a little chilly outside. Rode my bike today, it was raining. We ain't going outside when it's like that.
It's based on lighting blunts, loading guns, telling my lawyers to get the case going.
Shout out to Styles P2, baby. I had to let him know where it
comes
from.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you just hit us with a two-piece?
What you mean?
We done with the music?
That was it, man.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to front.
He came back.
I had
simple.
Like another five-piece for you, but I could not find the song I was looking for. It was bothering me so much.
Oh, man. I was like, yo, after a while, I was like, my man's really likes like writing these down at the end of the episode. Because I was like, yo.
Yeah. I was after like, that last one? Yo, ooh.
You may need to be home, but you're going to finish that. Like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
you know what to do. Pass me that
get
odds,
off
baby.
My long Khaled edition. Really, I sat here and did like 6 hours of post work
trying to figure it out,
just writing down all the music.
I was like, man, he really enjoys writing these down, man. He's not slowing down at all, man. Welcome to You Wasn't Outside Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, not doing the most, normal ass Carl. To my frontish right, I have my man at Just Lex. Together we form Voltron. Nah, we don't.
We probably need more two people for that.
Hey, so after the last episode when I gave my disclaimer, did anyone hit you up for that? Where's the episode at?
Nah.
No. Mom, grandma call. You might want to answer that. Just in case. Hold on, let me get my drop.
Namaskara. And
Just Lex. All right. We back. It's time to get straight to it. Lex, how you been, man? What's up, man? Tell me, it's been 2 weeks, so you can't come in here without not knowing. My grandma is calling. You might want to answer the... All right.
Life alert.
You know she going to call 3 or 4 times. I just wanted to let you know that.
Is grandma a double texter?
Grandma don't text. I'm telling you, that generation between like... That generation, they call. That's a calling generation, you know. That's probably where I get it from. But yeah. I'd rather get it done easy, you know, out the gate. Anyway, back to what we say. So what's new, man? What's going on with you?
I mean, we left here. We both went our respective vacations, exactly. So to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little recharge time, a little family time. Shout out to all the mothers out there. We miss Mother's Day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. With great intention. I can't imagine if I even pulled you in here on a Sunday, what that would even look like. You'd probably be staying with me right now. Like, you need a pillow, you good? Like, no, there's no way I can let you just, you know, go out like that, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I did not look at the episode notes at all today.
It's all good.
We have a laundry list of things to talk about. I just didn't look at it and pick which one. So we just going to freestyle it.
That's another reason you didn't want to go somewhere set up, because you was like, I need to get this off now. And I ain't seen you since you left. And you was like, I got too much shit I got to talk about.
The weather is pretty shitty too, though. 60 degrees outside, standing out there trying to get people to come in. It's too cold for me to even want to deal with that, man. So. Yeah, so walk me through the day. Day one, you went to Temecula. So day one, day two, day three, what y'all do? Like, what was?
I mean, we were just at the Airbnb. You know, Temecula's like wine country or whatever. So we was a little secluded. Had a nice little spot, plenty of rooms. Let's see what we do. I mean, kids lounging by the pool. They had the slip and slide. Was you outside for a slip and slide?
I was outside for that. Yes.
Did you break it?
No, the slip and slide is the one you put on the floor in the grass. How can you break that?
You find a way.
It's like a twister, man. The grass always laid down, too.
Yeah, they had a little turf area with like a couple soccer goals up. Mm. And we, you know, so we kind of hung out. We did a little family obstacle course. They had like a slide into the pool.
Oh, so yeah, Johnson's family vacation going on.
Yeah, they had they had seats. They had concrete seats in the pool that led up to a walk-up swim-up bar.
Oh, yeah?
Into a grill that didn't work.
Wait, the grill was next to the pool?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was like a bar, a grill, a bar, and then the pool.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying like you can grill the meats in the pool. No. I was like, that doesn't sound safe.
You know, fire pit, we did some s'mores.
I don't think Riverside County would approve that home.
You know, we basically three different families was there, so we all took turns in handling who was in charge of the food for that day.
The kids just ran around, did their own thing, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Zeke, Mr. Anti, he still had to have his Coco Melon and his TV situation.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then they had all the owner had all the apps on the thing. They even had the podcast up there, and I went up and subscribed to us real quick.
Yeah,
just so if anybody was going to pop up.
That's when you're still at the bottom, you got to do tricks like that, like walk around, drop your card somewhere.
I mean, that was it.
Walk in the advertisement, wear the shirt. They didn't have no
subscription, so I figured if we start with this one, I'm like, what's this?
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to anybody who might listen in the future because of that Airbnb.
If you're listening right now at the Airbnb, thank you. It might be months later, weeks later, hours later. Who knows when it came up. So, yeah, man. I had a great trip, you know.
I mean, day one, y'all was up in it looked like a hurricane.
Yeah, it was sunny. It was sunny, and then out of nowhere, we went to the beach the first day. It was warm. Like, when we got there, she packed a jean jacket. I was like, bro, what are you doing? Like, this is not, like, you're not going to, like, Temecula or something like that, or Arizona, you know, like, this is humidity, like. And so,
yeah,
like,
Florida is crazy.
When we got there, 11 o'clock, 90 degrees, humid. She's like, I can't breathe. I was like, bro, I can't try to tell you, man.
I think,
like,
I got it.
Yeah, like, I'm like, it's not going to work that way. That was the first night we flew in. First day, went to the beach, went out to eat, went to a Miami Heat game. That was cool. I didn't like the fact that so different from out here, because I've been to a few events like Padre games and stuff. Like, when you go out there, you can't eat on the floor. Like, you have to eat in the little cubicle things with everyone else. And I was like, that's pretty dumb, because why can't I eat out here where it's open and you're forcing me to eat in one compacted area? But it's Florida. That's what you expect. And then... we went out to some really nice restaurants. It was a couple trips. We both looked at each other at one point and was just like, we should come with our own friends.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, Miami?
Yeah, Miami is one of those things. But this was the furthest that she had, you know, flown to in her life. So I was like, you know, let's change it up. Let's do it together. Have some memorable moments. And we could tell this story now. All right. I've been waiting to get this one off. I didn't tell, like, my moms and them, because I'll tell you how it happened. So Tyrell is, and this is not a plug or anything like that, but I do like Tyrell in comparison.
Oh, you to have been waiting, because I think I remember this conversation in the group.
Oh, I dropped it in there just so that, like, I could remember. Then I was like, nah, write it down. And so Tyrell should be, you know, I think universal that people should use, because it's like Airbnb, but
right.
you get to use my vehicle, and we ain't got to go through the rental car. No $400 holds on your card and stuff like that. Like, you just know what you're getting or whatever at a good price. So we get this car from this gentleman. He was in Fort Lauderdale. We flew into Fort Lauderdale, drove to Miami's, right? And it's cheaper. So we get this car, and I find out on Friday, the day that when we got up, because we were going an hour north to St. Lucie. That sound expensive, right? So we go to St. Lucie. It's about an hour north, or hour and a half north. And so when we got on I-95, it was like, oh, you're approaching toll roads. And I was like, fam, everything out there is damn near a toll road, right? If not, I-95 is your main way of getting, you know, north and south. So we get up in the morning, and the toll booth is completely different from the toll booths here in California. You know what I mean? And what I'm saying is that you can't take a debit card and pay for it at the machine, like going to your house. You can't pay for it online if you decide not to wait in line. You got to pay cash right there. And if you don't pay cash right there, you got to send in a check or money order within 10 days, or they're going to double increase your fines. So that's the parameters that I'm giving you right now. Get up in the morning. I get there. There's a ticket booth. But it's like on the main freeway. It's like going on the 805 and then randomly stopping on the side four lanes across and getting a ticket and hurrying up in speed. Like Coronado, like where they got the little booth things.
Yeah.
So we get to the ticket booth, right? 7 in the morning. I have an appointment to go meet with, you know, this golf instructor, you know, at this world-renowned place where
in
St. Lucie. It's called Floridian Golf Club. You guys can look it up. They got Barack Obama as a member, George W. Bush, which I don't, you know, champion him, but $120,000 a year. Nice place. So I was like, yo, I don't want to be late. I don't want to miss this. This is going to be great. So we get to the toll booth. The first lady, she's like, well, do you have, like, she said, where's your ticket? I said, wait a minute. Like, I actually need to get one of those. Like, I didn't know I need to get a ticket, you know, to get on here. I didn't know what that thing was for. Like, it didn't make any sense. Like, I had to pull over to get there. She was like, yeah, well, you need a ticket. Do you have a receipt or anything like that that, you know, kind of tells me where you came from, that's timestamps? And she's like, it'll only be $5. I said, nah. She said, well, the penalty's $11. I said, all right. That's fine. 11 here, they'll hit you for 50 or 60.
Oh, real shit.
Yeah. So I was like, $11? I'll take that any day of the week. Give her the $11, right? Go have a great time. You know, go see this, you know, golf course. It's beautiful, man. And just, I just never seen nothing like that. It looks better than Torrey Pines. On the way back, we stop off at Rite Aid. Now, let me just say this. Yes, there are people walking into stores and stuff like that, not getting stopped for wearing masks out there. It's just crazy, man. Even the dude at Rite Aid had the mask on, just his mouth and his nose exposed. And I'm like, bro, you know, you might as well just take it off. You know what I mean? I feel more comfortable because I'm vaccinated. My people are vaccinated. So I don't get mad and up in the uproar of people not wearing their masks no more. So that's just me. So I get back on. I see the ticket booth. This time they have a ticket booth off the exit. So I see two cars in front of me blow past the ticket booth, right? They sit there for 2 seconds, take off. So I'm sitting there for about 20 seconds. There's cars behind me. No ticket comes out. I said, bro, this is crazy. I was like, you know what? I said, we got the receipt. If it's $11, we got $14 on cash, you know, on hand cash on us or whatever now, because I left the other money in my backpack at the room. I was like, you know what? We'll be all right. Yeah, I ain't got to worry about it. Let me say this too, because this hurt my soul. The first lady was black, okay? So we get there to where we first entered at on the way there, and we pull over to the booth. It's a black lady, about, you know, late 50s, early 60s. Definitely looked like she didn't want to be there. I said, hey, miss, how you doing? Doesn't say a word. Looks at me. You got your ticket? I said, yeah, I got it. I said, well, I don't have it, but I do have a receipt to show you where I came from. Because the other woman, like I told you guys in the story earlier, said, hey, maybe if you have a receipt or something, that'll work. So she says to me, let me see what you got. I give her the Rite Aid receipt. Uh-uh. No, this ain't going to work. And I'm going to tell you guys what I said verbatim, all right? So I'm not going to be PC about it today. So, that ain't going to work. I said, well, ma'am, you know, like the other lady told me that I was able to use like a receipt or something. I said the ticket booth wasn't working. I stopped. Y'all keep saying that the ticket booth ain't working today. Like, the ticket booth is working. And I'm like, yo, all right, it's cool. Like, you know what? Look, I'm from California. It's a rented car or whatever. Just, you know, if I got to pay the penalty, I know what it is. How much is the penalty? $16.50. I said, yo, it was $11 over there. I was like, but you know what? It's cool. I said, she was talking shit while she was writing up the ticket, right? I was like, well, I only got $12. She said, well, you just going to have to pay. You're going to go ahead and have to send in a money order or a check. And I was like, this is dumb. On the way up, I had asked my girl, look, hey, can you, like, look it up online? You can't look it up online. You can't pay online, none of that. Right? So I was like, look, I tried paying online. I tried, you know, getting the ticket. Like, this seems like a lot of work, but whatever. It's $16.27 total in penalty fees. It's this man's rental from Turo off the app. I was like, I'll just pay it, you know, and I'll be good. So she's like, I don't know. What's wrong with y'all? I said, ma'am, you keep talking shit to me, and I keep telling you that I'm okay with you writing this ticket. I'm not even mad right now. And she was like, well, I'm just saying. Y'all coming in here saying that the ticket booth ain't working. At this point, I was like, yo, I've been trying to be nothing but nice to you about some shit that has nothing to concern you about. It's my money, whatever it may be. So she was like, well, I'm just saying. I said, you know what? Just shut the fuck up and write my ticket. Right? At that point, I'm hot now, right? Because you still talk. I said, yo, only my mother is allowed to talk to me the way you talking to me, and there's no way I'm going to let you to continue to do that. So she's still talking shit. So I was like, I know what gets this generation, their generation, pissed off. She hands me the ticket thing out the window. I snatch it out of her hand, right? She said, don't you be snatching shit from me. She said, don't you be snatching shit from me.
Wait, and, is there cars and shit behind you? And
yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Like, traffic.
Dude, as much time as I'm spending like explaining this to you, that's how long I was at the booth while she was talking shit. It's like, bro, this is easy. So then she's like, don't be snatch. I said, I snatch whatever the fuck I want to snatch. And then I drive off. And she said, you bastard. I was so hot, man, that I called my moms up and I was like, look, I said, I got probably the most disrespectful I ever been to one of, you know, one of our strong black women. You know what I mean? And I was like, I just want to call you and apologize. You know what I mean? Here's the kicker, though.
You ain't raised me like
this. Yeah, you ain't raised me like this. But this lady was talking shit. I said, look, you're the only person that could talk to me like that. I'm not letting nobody else. I don't care who it is. Black, white, Mexican, whatever. You're not about to talk to me like I'm small. You know what I mean? We just not going to do that. Here's the kicker. I call old dude. I tell him the whole story. He's like, well, why'd you get a ticket? I said, what are you talking about? He said, if you look under the rearview mirror, I have a sun pass where you could just blow by all the tolls and not have any problems. I'm sitting here like, bro, I'm sitting here fighting with this lady, man, for no reason. I paid the $11, which I'm not mad about. Whatever. Take care of it. But I'm fighting with this lady for no reason, and I got a sun pass. I was like, so I ain't got to pay the $16.50? Because she probably thought I drove away and thought she won.
Yeah.
I'm the ultimate winner now. I ain't got to pay shit now.
Mm.
So that had me lit, man. I was pissed off. And then I ran into a guy at the bar, and he was like, you know, they make about $25,000, $30,000 a year, so she got a reason to be mad. So, and I was like, yeah, I get it.
But yeah, still. But you'd also think, like, y'all keep coming in telling me the ticket booth ain't working. So you telling me I ain't the first one that's brought this to your attention.
Yeah, okay. So I know I'm not tripping.
It's not like somebody trying to get out of a ticket or making excuses. Multiple people have told you this shit ain't working.
Yeah, the shit ain't, and there's no buttons on it. Like, you don't push a button. You like, I'm like, yo, where do you get the ticket from? It's just a little slip thing that comes out and whatever, man. It wasn't something that was so big. And dude was so nice, too. He gave me 20% off my next time that I get a car. So I'm going to give me something real nice.
But it doesn't have to be his car?
No, it could be any car.
Oh, you can hand out 20% to these other months? Yeah, man. Anybody else's car?
Get a discount, man. Like, yeah, I guess.
Whatever.
That's for the people right there, man. I mean, that means that I'm that. And that was my first experience doing that, you know. But you get a lockbox. Like, the car's in some, like, area that they park it. He's got lock boxes by the, you know, tire and everything, and then you turn it on. Same thing like a rental car, take pictures of it or whatever, and then you leave it there. Like the scooters.
No,
like,
I get that. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, say we both in this business and somebody rents my car and I'm like, oh man, I like them. I'm gonna give you 20% off of his shit. So you go use his car, he get 20% less. You know, that's what I'm saying.
I think it's that. I didn't read it all the way after it came out, to be honest with you. I'm not going to even lie about that, man. But, yeah, man, it was a great trip overall, man. I feel recharged, man.
That and type of shit would have had me, because you know me and fees.
It would have had you sick.
That $11 would have had me.
But I feel like old girl probably would have pissed your wife off, though.
No, oh, yeah, definitely. I'm just...
But that's the thing, because we could talk about that now. I was going to start with something different, but I feel like that generation believes like things happen a certain way and there's no room for like mishaps. Like, I can go through like anything with my mom, my dad, you know, my grandmother, whatever. They think that things are linear and there's no way that there's no mistakes that can happen. Like, it's absurd that the machine breaks. You know, not knowing that damn well, like, anything electronic has ways of breaking. I've seen people get brand new AirPods. I've had a brand new Apple Watch broken out the package. You know what I mean? And it doesn't mean that anything was wrong. Like, I had to go get another Apple Watch. But it's like, yo, the world isn't as linear as you think it is, man. They're like, there's wiggle rooms. There's room for mistakes and stuff like that. I guess open-mindedness.
Now, you know what it is because technology is speeding up so much quicker to where... Every year, it's getting quicker and quicker and quicker. There was a big gap before that momentum built that technology took a lot longer to advance. And then so once the momentum built up and it got to this point in like, shit, maybe like 2000, the late aughts or however you call it, to where every year it was like, oh, we getting faster and faster to where now your shit's getting outdated. Every year to now your shit's outdated every 6 months.
Mm.
To now your shit's outdated every few weeks.
And we have
depending on what you're talking about, you know what I mean? So it's like they're not used to that type of speed.
Yeah, my mom just told you right now she was gonna set her phone up and I was like, good luck. I don't know how.
And she was down here like getting prepped, like she had a
yeah.
She was doing a team stretch, like, all right, I'm gonna get to it.
Out the package, I rip it open and get straight to it. Like, what I know where my stuff is, but I guess like just that knowledge base, man, you know, and it also hit me at a point, too, where I was like, you know, I have a lot of respect for my elders. I really do. But now me getting older and not being as young anymore and taking more power roles like in my family's life or or even like my whole extended family's life. It's like, bro, look, I've earned some stripes now. You can't just talk to me,
right?
You know, crazy. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes, like, they make that mistake. My dad got his ass with one time at work thinking that he was still a young Thundercat. And I was like, bro, look, man, it's not going to work, man. Like, it's just not. But we're going to hit that point, too. There's going to come a time where I can't pop off like how I did, you know, with this lady or whatever. She might have sons, whatever, or I pop off with another dude or something like that. Because Father Time is going to catch up with all of us. And I may not be able to back myself up. Like, I'm still a little bit of speed. I know if I say I still got some quickness, you're gonna light me up.
No, I was actually I let it slide, but when you was talking about, I ain't gonna let you talk to me like I'm small, and I was gonna be like, hey, ain't nobody ever talked to you like that.
Oh, bro. But I mean, that was just my whole thing. And yeah, that generational age gap and everything is real. But you know, I don't know, man. I just don't wanna delve, you know, too hard on that.
But you know what too? I also think that because like you were saying, like they think it's linear, they're not open minded. And I think sometimes it comes off as disrespect towards your elder because you're frustrated. Like, why can't you just accept the fact that it could be something different? And your problem is you don't want somebody younger telling you anything.
Mm.
And so you just won't. You're like, nope, it don't real. And they do some little kid shit like, da, 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 cover their ears. Like, oh, you know what I mean? But if you just be like, accept the fact that how you grew up, it's changed now, and it could be something totally different, something you wasn't ready for or whatever the reason, and it is what it is. And it's like, yeah, I'm younger than you, but you also called me for the help.
You're in a space right now where you might have some people that you know, like people at your job. Are there people at your job younger than you?
Not too many. I'm still, even you're though still, I've been there that long, I'm still one of the younger bucks.
And what about in your inner circles? Like anybody that's young that you know of, or like not inner circles, but people that you can, you know, converse with, like maybe talk to or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like you're in a position of giving off knowledge when you're talking to them? Or are you more like, all right, let me listen to what this young person may have to say?
Probably more the former. I'm probably giving off more knowledge. But when it comes to stuff like that, I've been an old man with technology since I was like 20.
No, that is true. I've seen it, you know, in full effect. You sent 5 text messages that were the same yesterday. And I was like, fam, I don't know.
That what. Don't always be my fault. That'd be the phone.
I was like, yeah, I don't know what's happening right now. But he, I was like, he's doubling down on this. He don't want none but nobody to miss this.
Maybe they didn't see it.
Shout out to DMX and rest in peace to DMX too. But I was just like, man, he's not one.
Nah,
to miss
man.
This
if my phone said didn't send, I just let it sit there and it probably just keeps resending.
Mm. Okay.
That makes sense. I ain't sitting there. I don't care. Y'all don't respond. I'm not gonna be like, oh, I get whatever.
I see it.
No, I'm saying like it's sometimes not like I gotta resend the shit.
Group chat etiquette is another thing, man. We'll do some random shit to fill in time. I think group chat etiquette, like that's something that like is worth talking about, because if you get more than 5 or 6 people in there, like when I see y'all on a roll and it's like 80 messages deep, I'm not reading. I just mm-hmm. be like, yo, I'll catch the next go around. It always comes back around. And I was like, I'll catch the next go around. You know what I mean? But I think also people get mad that like you may not respond to something that they may have thought was super fire. And I just like, look, I just throw shit out there, and if it catches, it catches. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I
never necessarily get mad about it, but some people, you know, don't like when you don't acknowledge them. You know? And I'm like, bro, it's 9 dudes in here, man. And sometimes I maybe read the 2 or 3 messages above and then that's it, you know? But yeah, it is what it is.
Either that or I mean, if you're the type of person that needs a response warranted, then you need to come with nothing but the heat. Or make sure that everyone's actually active at the point. Because sometimes people just be like, everyone's busy at the same time. You throw something in there and nobody said nothing. Not that it wasn't cool. Just like, oh, like, you got to know the times of the day when you posting.
Yeah. Yeah. Lunchtime after 8. You know, like, I know when I got a little system when I throw some shit in there. Like, oh, I don't kind of want to talk about this. I tried it yesterday with the hip hop question. But yeah. Here we go. What'd you have on this list and random shit that you want to talk about?
I have no idea. I know, you know, you want to know some wild shit?
Let's hear it.
Hey, what's the wild, or maybe this is.
You got have first any, time in Vegas in here. Too.
What's the wild shit? You got any wild shit that your kids are scared of that she's like, yo, what you talking about?
What do you mean?
Like, all right. So Zeke is scared of Family Feud.
Like the TV show?
The TV. And the crazy shit is like,
it might be y'all. It's not. It's like, he's like, yo, I know this story.
Nah, what I'm saying is like when he was young, like a baby, and we were still at home, like on paternity leave.
Family Feud's the one with Steve Harvey.
Yeah,
that's still wild.
No, like Steve Harvey's voice was like the only thing that would calm him down when he was in his shit. Like. Mm. We put on like a segment of the Feud and he'll calm down and he'll just watch it.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating, right? And then, you know, he got a little older and I don't really watch Family Feud like that, but we watch like the celebrity ones.
Right.
And then so I'll be in like the DVR or whatever. Well, we like whenever it come on, it come on. But, and then, you know, we had a like almost a half a year instability with our TV schedule to where we wasn't really watching it, right?
Right, right.
So now we got all our TV set up and everything's good and we back on our normal schedule. And the kids are big Supermarket Sweep fans.
Who?
The Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yeah, you went outside for that. Let's be honest. They rebooted it with Leslie Jones. Anyway, they like watching the sweep. It'll be me and mom and one of the kids, and we do a little, like, all right, who's going to answer the questions? Obviously, they ain't really. We tell them the answers. They scream it out. They tell them how they, you know, they getting competitive. That it's nice to see. But so. I try to put the Feud on, like, oh, we got this, like, old episode of the celebrity one that is done. Like, let's just knock it out to get out the DVR. And we turn it on, and as soon as, like, he asks the question and the noises come out, like, and bing, he starts freaking the fuck out.
Mm. Oh, like, so that's why y'all don't want me to use the soundboard.
No. This is, like, brand new.
Oh, this is new.
And I'm like, yo, what's wrong with you? Like, this is your shit out of everything. Like, you love the Feud. Like, Steve Harvey is the Fig Whisperer. Like, and he just started, and I thought he was like trolling me. Like, I was like, oh, he in like some random mood where everything's going to piss him off, right? So I tried it the next day. He was dead asleep. I turned it on. I was like, all right, well, we're going to knock this episode out. And then as soon as one of them sounds that he woke up and was just like, no, no, I'm scared.
Finish him. And why is he scared?
He's scared of Family Feud.
Yeah, he don't want people fighting, man. I don't know. Maybe that's just where he's at, you know?
I don't understand.
Steve Harvey doesn't look as appealing as he did, you know, when he had the fro and everything, you know. Maybe it's the bald head and the Mr. Potato Head thing, you know. Maybe, I don't know what to tell you right there, man.
He's still rocking the T-Mac suits.
So, from, like it's 04. I don't know. I mean, mine is pretty natural. Like we getting housework done. They putting lights in the house right now. And so when the drill goes off, she goes a little nuts. Oh, what's
no? That's
going?
Normal.
Yeah,
stuff.
That's what I'm like, saying. I don't know. I don't the weird quirks. I don't know. I feel like a lot of your problems and my problems always seem to align in the same the same vein.
Like I think it's every dad's rite of passage to chase the kids with the vacuum on because they freak out.
Okay, yes.
Like I get that
the Roomba. Yeah, I get
that's
that.
Normal stuff.
Yeah, I can't tell you anything that's like outside of the norm that she does. That's like you know that would. Yeah, man, there's nothing that I could think of right now. Everything, it seems to me, is like within normal range, I guess. I'm not saying that your son is abnormal. Let me stop saying that.
Nah, word. They are.
Nah, I'm not going to say it.
He's so damn stubborn. He would not apologize to me because he's... You know what? I am part of the generation because he snatched the remote out of my hand. I looked at him like, you did what? And he snatched the remote out of my hand, so I took it back, and he was like, he wanted his, whatever, his program he was watching. I was like, nah, you ain't watching this. And then so she's like, apologize to your dad, and he'll give you the remote. And he was like, nah, I ain't doing that. He's very prideful.
Mm. Yeah, I get that. You got first time in Vegas on here.
Do you remember your first time in Vegas?
Like in general?
Yeah.
Or are we just talking about, hold up. As under 21 or above 21? You know,
my first time, I have stories for both. I'm just saying, like.
I don't remember my first, because we go all the time. I remember when I started remembering, like, we used to go to, like, Circus. Like, those runs back then versus, like, what they are now, completely different atmosphere.
Of course.
Yeah, so, like we used to do all the kid shit, which I guess, like, that's important to talk about, or that's something that's interesting to talk about, because I'm not taking my kids to like those circus things or whatever if I ever go there.
That's a nasty environment.
Yeah, that's not like I don't like kids' places. I don't like do you let your kids play in the McDonald's play place?
They have before. But it was a nicer looking one.
Yeah.
But normally we ain't in that position to be doing that. Because
the ball pit,
anyway.
You're going to find more than just balls in there sometimes. Balls.
You know, I lost my 3 front teeth at a McDonald's play place.
Your teeth look real.
I'm talking about, I was like 6.
Oh, okay. What'd you do? You just fell over?
I was running. So I was playing in the ball pit. There was like, the Nuggets is here. And I was real excited.
Why'd I think of Denver? Keep going.
I was real excited. So I tried to, you know, Usain Bolt my way over there. And they were, I guess the slippery when wet sign was not out.
Dude wasn't eating nuggets at all that day.
I went face first, right into the pavers.
What'd your mom say?
She wasn't there.
Oh.
So, okay. You know, when I got brought home with no teeth, she was like, yo, what the fuck? That's why I can't let you take them nowhere.
Oh, man. Bruh. That's funny, man. Yeah, but I don't know. First time in Vegas, like, we used to do that run. And, man, even my get-ups were nasty back then. I'm sure I had, like, a Hawaiian shirt
your
on.
Get-ups?
Yeah, my get-ups.
Your ensembles?
My ensemble was trash. I probably had on, like, a button-up shirt.
So you've been going since you were a little kid, though.
Yeah, I've been going for a long
time. Based on how your pops was giving it up in conversation, he was like, I'm trying to do some gambling.
Yeah. So, that's why I told you the last podcast, the story with my grandmother and stuff. I was about like 8 or 9 years old when that happened.
Yeah.
So I've had some stories. Like, we go all the time. We've been to different places too. What is it? Laughlin is another area. I think we've been there one time. I've never been back since I was a kid though. Like, yeah.
We could say no. I brought it up because Mark had thrown a gif. Still don't know the right term or not, but he threw one of those in there of Tom Hanks running in Forrest Gump from like missiles and shit. And he was like, this is Lex's first time in Vegas, right? And then nobody know what he was talking about except Jonathan.
So what happened?
So I was 15. Jonathan,
that's your first time?
First time in Vegas is 15, right?
So your mom don't gamble or nothing?
My mom's
like
never been to Vegas except for my wedding.
Ho.
Yeah, she's always talking about, oh, you
every
go to Vegas.
Every day that we talk, I start learning more and more stuff. It's all
now
right.
I'm saying, we never went nowhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's like, oh, if someone, any type of out-of-city experience I got was probably with Jonathan's
family. So your mom's
family.
Never been, like, to the East Coast or nothing? Like, New York or, like, Florida?
No,
or...
I mean, she used to live in Japan. And
oh,
like,
so she was like, this is it.
Like, once she got here, she's like, oh, I'm here. You know what I mean? So it's like, and we didn't really go nowhere. I think I went to Disneyland maybe once when I was like 2.
Mm.
And then, you know, but if I
you
went.
You remember from photos. Like,
but if I, not even. If I went somewhere, it was with someone else's family.
Mm. She would say, also, then this is where the frugality comes from.
No.
Your mom's been saying
that. No, but I did. So I went there. We were there like 3-4 days and I had $50 that I had to hold myself down for. And they brought me along because they're all, you know.
I'm trying to figure out if that's love or not.
Everyone in the fan. I'm pretty sure it was my $50. It wasn't her.
But even still, 50's nothing out there, man. If it as a kid.
Well, I'm 15. Well, that's all I had. I was 15.
Oh, I keep thinking you were 8. The story keeps getting worse. All right, keep going.
It's probably all I had from whatever dice game I just had.
Yeah.
And, you know, his family's like, they all going out there. He's the only one under 18, under 21. We need to give him something to do.
Right.
Bring one of his little funky ass friends around. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I get to roll.
Yeah.
And so I'm 15. I got to make, and man, that fit. You know, I'm going to make that 50 stretch.
I'm sure you
can. But they had to hit the buffet on the way out. I was like, yo, I can't do this. And they're like, we got you. But so to answer the question, like, what does that give me? So we were in there and we was walking the strip. And it was like the first, there was like a sandstorm on like in Vegas, like the first one in like 50 years or some shit, right?
Mm.
And I'm wearing shorts because it's Vegas in the summertime, it's hot as shit.
It's a great time.
And so the sand is like blowing and hitting me and it's blowing so hard, like it's hurting. Like if you got your bare legs out, like it's burning.
Yeah.
And what was crazy was, so we're walking, we're by this bus stop and there's this lady sitting at the bus stop and she's holding this paper and she's looking real focused. And the wind, and there's like a light rain. There's like all this wild shit going on. The paper just blows out her hand right into the gutter, gets totally destroyed. And she's like, well, I guess I don't need to go to this job interview today because that was my resume. And they said, if I don't have one, I can't show up. And I'm already about to be late because of this bus. And it was like the saddest shit I ever heard, but she kept like a straight face, right? Then it really starts picking up. And so Mark and Jonathan, they run, I think we were like right outside of MGM. They run towards it and they kind of leave me, right? Because I feel like they have something.
They run towards what?
The MGM.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of right where we was out of. And I'm pretty sure I have like my slides on. And so I couldn't like run as fast, right? So I'm like behind them. And so I'm running. And they get to the door. They get in. And I'm running. Boom. Out of nowhere. Big ass palm tree falls from space. Mm. Hits me in the back of the head. I go down like a heavy ass palm, like a branch, right? Like, boom. I'm hitting the ground. Like, the wind is taking me away. And they just sitting there laughing at me from safety.
So this was your first trip?
That was my first trip in
Vegas. So you went out there broke. You seen poverty.
I see poverty every day at that point in my life.
This is the first time that it stopped you in the middle of a sandstorm. So you see poverty. You have a tree that falls down on you.
And then that was like the first day, right? So once the nighttime comes, me and Jonathan can't do much.
Yeah.
So we just kind of walk the strip, fuck with people. And we were staying at the Stratosphere, right? We've come a long way since then. We don't even touch that side. We don't go to that side of the strip
no more. Yeah, yeah, because that's at the bottom, right?
That's at the other end.
It's not even on the strip, really.
I mean, it is, but it's like, you know, you ain't trying to be the Stratosphere. It's like the last one.
It's there. I never pass it. That's what I'm saying. It's not like it's not something that you would want
to
be at.
So, I remember when I got married and I had to drive that way to like the little courthouse, and I was like, whew, been a long time since I've been on this side.
Oh man, what about that time you went to Rhino?
But we go on like the outside.
Now you telling on yourself.
We always go to the Rhino. I'll tell on myself. I brought my lady to the Rhino.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with
she
that.
She enjoys it just as much as we all do.
Does she? Oh yeah. Man.
Oh man,
that's great.
Yeah, so
it's beautiful.
So the one of the nights, like all the adults go out and they gamble and stuff, and then Jonathan was like dead asleep at like 8 o'clock. Mm. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck? So I go down. I get off of the elevator. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to walk. But I was like, damn, I can't really get into much. So my dinner that night was a bag of Twizzlers and a Coke. Mm. And I walked to the gas station.
Went all the way out.
grabbed this stuff from the, and I started walking back, right?
You know, I just thought about it. You love continental breakfast.
I do fucking love it. I'm going to knock at least three plates
out. That's part of the room.
We've shared a continental breakfast together.
Yeah, man, I've seen you. He was like, look, we not missing this.
We gonna get there. Oh, is this the line right here?
Check out at 11. We got time. Yeah. We got time. I ain't gonna miss that. Oh, man.
So I'm walking. Well, as I'm walking back, I pass this like alley, and this dude's like, "Hey." He's like, "You got any cash on you?" I was like, "Damn." the real shit was like, I was like, "Yo, I'm about to ask you the same question." Huh. I was like, nah, man. Like,
I got it.
Like, I might have had a few quarters hanging from in the bag from my change or whatever. I was like, I ain't got nothing, man. He's like, oh man. He's like, you know, I just got out of jail in Utah, and they sent me here. I haven't eaten in 3 days. I'm just looking for like a cheeseburger.
Now, being older now, you know, Utah didn't send him to Vegas. They probably sent him maybe about 10 miles from the facility.
All I'm saying was like, I was in the same position. Like, yo, I'm hungry too, my man. Like, yeah, I do got this room tonight, but I'm like, I'm hungry.
I do have this
and then
room.
So he gave me his little spiel, and I was like, I hate when they tell me like that's gonna change what I got in my pocket. Like, right. Money's gonna magically appear. Like, dude, I ain't got nothing for you, man. I
can't help you.
And so I'm like, man, like, I'm sorry to hear that, but like, nah, man, I ain't got nothing. Like, I'll break you off one of these Twizzlers or whatever. And then so he pulls out this knife, and he's like, whatever you got in your pocket, man, I'll give you this knife for you.
Oh, so you're getting stuck up now.
But he tried to tell me, like, he wants to make a transaction. Like, oh, if you do got, like, I'll give you something of value for it. Mm. And I was like, dog, like, if I had something, I would give it to you. I don't have anything. You trying to give me a knife for sale that I don't need or want, I don't need it. Right. I was like, dog, I ain't got nothing. And then so he's like, oh, mind you, I'm still in my slides. I don't even know if I brought shoes to Vegas. And then I start, you know, walking back, and he starts following me. He never really put the knife away. And on that side of the strip, anybody who's been there, like, that's not nothing unusual.
Right.
So I'm
all the way right? through.
And I'm like, damn, like, I'm not going to just tell myself exactly where I'm at. So I'm in the casino. I go across the street to the little bullshit Aladdin
He's
joint.
He's still following
me? He's following me, right? And I finally lose him a little bit. And I go up to the room. I was like, oh, I'm good. So all in all, like, not the craziest story. It was just interesting, right? The next day, everyone meets in the room, and all the adults like, oh, what'd you all get into? I was like, he went to sleep at 8. I almost got stabbed.
Oh, that's right. So it was nighttime.
I tell them the story. Everyone starts laughing at me. I was like, why is everybody laughing at me about everything, right? I swear to God, it was probably a few years ago. Jonathan's mom was like, oh, that was real? You've been telling that story for years. Or you want to ask him about that story for years. I always thought you were playing around. I was like, no.
Nah, he was dead serious. Man's was dead serious. That's crazy. I don't think I've ever, I've never been in a situation where I've been like almost 15.
And then we didn't go until we was 18. And at 18, you can only do so much still.
Yeah, man. But that's what I'm saying. Like, is it before 21 or is it after? Because after 21, it's a totally different
But at
experience.
That point, me and Jonathan was getting our shit off because we was in the strip
can
club.
Can you even take kids into shows? Can you be 15 and go to the Michael Jackson experience or something like that?
I don't even know.
I've never, like, again, I won't find out because I'm not taking my kids. Anytime I'm going to Vegas or something like that, y'all not coming with me.
At 15, there was Slim Pickens, of 15-year-old girls running around trying to, we were trying to talk to you, but by 18, when we can get into the 18-year-old clubs,
right?
They just thought we was on a college visit to UNLV.
Which I feel like those
and we was about to bring them back to dominance.
Throw that down on the list. Yeah, we got to talk about that. One last thing for some shit to fill in time, man. Are you okay with people using you?
If you ask my wife, she'll be like,
hey. Did I ask you this last time?
I don't even remember.
I don't think so. But there's a reason why. But keep
Am I
going.
Okay with people using me?
Yeah. I'll give you an example why you think real quick. So I get these, you know, messages like from like on my DM sometimes, or like I'll get people that hit me up about certain things. And like we probably known each other in passing, or I remember you from like high school or some shit like that. This girl's like, hey, how you been? I was like, I'm good. You know, how are you doing? She's like, oh, we're good. You see, you got a family, everything's beautiful, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, cool. So then, you know, that was one day. And then 2 weeks go by and she's like, hey, you know, I put up a post about stocks or something. Oh, I see you're interested in investing, you know, so what are you doing? So she tried to like, you know, get me in the ropes of like talking about some shit that I'm doing. And it was like, well, you know, I work for, you know, MetLife. And I was just wondering it. And I was like, don't do that. Like, you know, I'm trying to be nice. I have a mean streak in me. I don't want to, you know, show it to you, but like, it's cool. Right. So she added me on, you know, Instagram and all that other stuff because she wasn't following me. And then because one of my good friends, you know, plays in professionally in the NFL, she's like, oh, you still talk to him, too? And like, how's he been? And yo, like, you can send him a message and he'll get back to you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to use me to get to that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so like and those type of instances, like it doesn't have to be anything that concrete, but are you okay with, I'm okay with people using me, but just know that if you're coming at me, you know, wanting something from me and I'm not willing to give it and you're volunteering that and you're pushy about it, then you go, don't be mad at my response to it if you're overdoing it. So she unfollowed me, didn't want to, you know, didn't talk to me anymore after I didn't buy MetLife or connected with my friend or whatever. And I was like, this is why, like, I really don't be rocking with people like that because everybody's out here trying to gain an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I guess, how they taught to go about their business.
Right.
And so, obviously.
Which says more about you as a person versus their business model.
Yeah, because it's more like, oh, you're also insulting my intelligence. Like, I can't see what's happening.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, if you notice that I know what's happening and I'm not going for it, you can't get mad at me.
Right.
But, honestly, the first when you said using you, the first thing I went to was like,
no, whatever context you
no,
want to
I know.
Put it
back
in.
When I was in my nasty ways, and then someone was like, "Oh yeah, that girl just using you." I was like, "Use me for what?" She's like, "Your body." I was like, "Well, then let her use me then." I'm okay with being used.
I was hoping you would warm me up into this because I was about to pause, but I was going to
you
leave
was
it for
this
later.
Way?
Yeah, man.
Hey.
So pre us having kids and you know very beautiful relationships and stuff like that. Has a woman ever told
you? Oh, okay. I did see this written down.
Has a woman ever told you? I'm trying to take us there, man.
My bad.
PC has
yeah,
got me nowhere,
go.
Man. Has a woman ever told you, man, this is the greatest sex I've ever had?
Not one time. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Bruh. Oh, man. Wait a minute, man. I need my man's ego. Well, I needed my man's ego stroke back then. I've been told that. But how would you receive it?
Now, on one hand, I'm not going to say that I wasn't. Maybe I just wasn't told about it.
Yeah.
There's been, you know.
There's been some times where you, like,
there's
you
been some
felt
times
confident.
Like, hey, you know what?
I gave you a little extra sauce tonight. Like,
no, yeah, back then, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, but then also, there's a lot of times I feel like if someone's being told that, I think they might being lied to or just the ego stroke to make them feel better. So I actually feel okay that no one's ever told me that, because I feel like, all right, no one, it was good enough to where they didn't have to lie to me. You know, some people, I mean, some people like to be lied to.
Right.
I was more worried about, all right, the other way. Don't tell me the other way, because you're probably not going to be lying.
Yeah.
And there's been, there's been a few instances where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to need one more shot. I'm going to need one more shot just so you know.
I just want to know that it's real.
that this ain't what it's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. That, okay. I see what you said. The other way. You know that.
Give me one more shot.
Oh, that happened, but see, I blew it twice. So once. Like, I've definitely blown it twice. I'm like, look, I don't know what it is about you. But I mean, I want to say this as a PSA for the women, right? Because I've talked to many of men about this, and because we have an all-male podcast right now, let's talk about a little bit about men. Is that I don't think a lot of men like hearing that. Some may, yes, but the vast majority, no, because the men that I talk to, when they hear stuff like that, it always lends to, oh, well, I feel like this person is lying. Or you, like you said, an ego stroke, you know? And I don't need my ego, I was going to say stroking. I don't think that's a word. I don't need my ego like stroked, though. You know, I'm good. Just let me know you had a great time and that's it. You don't have to pump me up and, oh, you way better than, because then my mind will go, well, how many are we talking about now? You know, because I never asked that in the first place. But if you say it, it's going to take me down that lane.
Yeah. Shout out to the nasty ones who are so confident they might ask.
Yeah.
Tell me
I don't want to know.
Tell me this is the best you ever had. Yeah. You want me to lie to you? Throw off the whole mood.
Yeah, it's a great time, but like for me, I was just like, ah, man, this don't do it. And then it also lended me to, I've been having a lot more conversations, man. I've noticed that there is a lot of women that are walking around single right now and actively looking, right? And so a lot of them have like preconceived notions about men. I work with a lot of women, so I have a lot of conversations, or I hear women, you know, talking within my vicinity or whatever. And I noticed that a lot of women don't have a lot of positive experiences with men. It's either they want me for sex or whatever, or nothing at all. Other than that, they don't know what it feels like to have a male friend.
Mm.
And so for you, outside of your wife being your best friend, in your life, have you ever had like a really good female friend that you never had any sexual interactions with?
Sure.
Yeah.
Several.
Now, do you know more women that don't have, you know, very many male friends, or in your life it's a good balance?
I think I do know a lot of women that prefer to be around men. Mm. Just because they're like, oh, you know, drama, messy, whatever it is. Like, all right, that's how you see it. That's your business. That's not my words.
Yeah.
Those are words I've been told. And then, but then a lot of those girls some of those girls that I'm talking about are around a bunch of men. But the men that they're around, they let you around because they just waiting on that moment. You know what I mean? You just you get along with them and you cool, but they just waiting on their chance.
Yeah, but I see, and that's the thing. Like, I've gone to the movies with girls. I've gone out to eat with them. I've slept over, you know, women's houses or whatever that were just nice enough to let me sleep over. If like we went out somewhere,
they were nice enough.
Yeah, it was nice. Hey,
you had nowhere to go.
Because sometimes, okay, one time in particular, I'm thinking about, there's a girl that I know, and I have to talk about that more off mic because it's crazy how like life comes around full circle. But there was a girl that I knew. She lived in Pacific Beach. And if anybody knows anything about PB, if you were there when it was like at its height, is that there's only two ways to get in, right? And two ways to get out. And so the police will set up shop right up there on the exit out of there. And I was like, bro, I can't afford to get a DUI or nothing like that. So, you know, I'll stay there. Or if we had like trainings or something like that, and like it was closer because of traffic patterns, and you know, back then I didn't have no girlfriend or nothing, so I'd be like, yo, can I stay with you? And I would be fine. We can have conversations and be cool or whatever, you know. Like I've always been from that, I've come from that, like just being open and cool and stuff like that, and not having to have sex with women to be able to be friendly with them, you know. I do know men that operate in that space where, like, you know, they don't want to have female friends, and they, you know, they look at women as objects. Or I know people that are like that. I won't say specifically friends, but, you know, I know people that are like that. But I feel personally, I can carry out a decent amount of friendship with somebody without having it lean towards sex and stuff like that. The messed up part is that with men, we make all kind of sex jokes, you know, but for some reason you throw a woman into the equation or something like that, it's looked at differently, you know, and I'm just going to be honest here. You know, have I gotten in trouble with that in the past, like in past lives? Yeah, absolutely. But it also comes from me just having experiences of being around women and whatnot. And nothing happened. You ain't got to look at me crazy. Everything's great, you know, in the house. So you like, man, why are we the cat's out? I'm trying to have more deeper conversations that are relatable to people. But I feel that a vast majority of women who probably struggle with understanding men or obtaining a relationship with men don't have that many experiences. We're very simple creatures. You know what I mean? And for the most part, very logical. Things got to be in a step-by-step process. You know, I'm not too much in tune with the emotional aspect of things, you know. And so for us, it's like the best word is practical. And if you don't have that experiences and you start saying like, well, oh, this person only wants me for this or this person only wants me for that, have more male friends so that you can know like what some men that you attract are really about. And you should be able to see that earlier on.
Yeah, and depending on, you know, the age bracket of when this is happening too, because a lot of girls be on that, the man bashing, and it's just like, nah, you gotta look at who you attracting,
right?
Or who you attracted to.
Because
I'm sure there's been
entertaining.
Along that journey, there's been, you know, a handful at least of people that you didn't look two ways at that would have been the right one. That now that you've gone through your experiences and now you're ready, like, okay, maybe I do need to switch it up and go give someone else a chance. Now that's when you get to that age where everyone's like, oh, all the good ones is taken.
Yeah.
Because you was sitting here entertaining whoever you was entertaining that wasn't taking you seriously.
That's what's even crazy to me, because my girl tells me all the time, she's like, you know, you're not an ugly dude. I don't know why you keep saying that. And I was like, you know what? But I felt.
Wait, so y'all wake up, y'all be in the mirror brushing your teeth.
I be talking, bro, how I am.
She gotta stop what she's doing and be like, you know what? Stop getting down on yourself.
No, because I downplay women who may be attracted to me or women who may talk to me that she may feel that, you know, are trying to make a move on. Because, like, from. Shit, like being a kid when I first started liking women until about 24, 23, women never paid attention to me. That's the truth. Like, I remember being in college watching light-skinned dudes get love all day long because, you know, that was in season. Trey Songz and all that. You know, I was a bigger dude then. You know, like women were not, like coming after me like that. It was me on an aggressive pursuit. But after, yeah, I mean, we just got to be honest. But after... What I've learned is that women aren't necessarily attracted to looks, though. And some women can sit out here and lie and say whatever they want to, but I've talked to a handful of a man over my time, and I've seen how the game has changed to where stability is way more attractive, or a partnership is way more attractive, and then looks and stuff like that being secondary.
But again, it also depends on when in this journey are you saying this? Because the younger women... Depending on where you're meeting these people at.
Give me an age.
Because what I'm saying, when you're younger, if you out in a loud place like a club, the only thing they can go off right away is your looks.
Mm.
Now, if you in a lounge setting or somewhere quieter, you at like a someone's family function or someone's function where there's just a bunch of different people together, and then you can show off or you can showcase something different, like your conversational skills, your personality, jokes or whatever. Then you can really, it depends, you can thrive in different areas. Because I know what you're talking about. I can't go, if I'm out, you know, when I was in.
We in our bag today.
When I was doing the club shit, I had to be dragged. I was like, what do I need to be the club for? Because I'm, you know, unless there's like just the ratio is so off to where y'all just can't handle and I can get the leftovers. Like, I'm just there posted up.
Huh, my man preaching today.
Making sure that, you know, y'all good. I'm the lookout. I'm the sober. I'm ready for the shit.
Right.
And then, you know, or playing wingman because y'all got 2, 3, 4 different talk to in here. And I got to go, you know, maneuver my way around them. Like, yo, what's good? But I know in the club setting, I'm not picking nobody up.
Does that work for you in the same vein for women? Like, a woman can grow. I mean, keep prefacing this. Back then, can a woman grow on you outside of her looks?
Of course.
Does it happen? I know it can happen, but does it happen for you?
Does it happen?
Because me, I if I'm attracted to a woman, right? And when I was single, I love my baby. She's great. But when I was single, if I was attracted to a woman, I would let it be known out the gate that that is what caught my eye, right? But that attraction, I've always been the weird guy in my group where sex wasn't always the first thing that I always thought about. Like, for me, it was like, all right, you look great, but what about communication? What about your goals? What about all these other things? And they're like, man, you think too deep into this. And I'm like, bro, it's cool. Like, that's just me. That's how I operate, you know? But then I got other friends that's the same way, though. You know, like my good friend Duran, like he takes his time when he decides that he's going to be with someone. It isn't just initially off of the sex or, you know, or off of, you know, first encounters. It's like, yo, can I enjoy my time with this person? As a man that has his shit together, I understand that, yo, I'm making a lifelong commitment to be, or I'm wanting to make a lifelong commitment to be with someone. You know what I mean? So I got to first understand or see that you're going to be someone that's fun, adventurous. You know, you're not going to be complacent. If I say something, you're going to be willing to do something different from what we're doing if it ain't working anymore. You know, those things, I think about it. And maybe I'm just different.
Or, I mean, or you've always considered yourself to always have your shit together. Because when I'm younger, I'm respectful, but I'm not taking them seriously enough to, like, and it's not that I wasn't open about that. Like, I'm not trying to take this to some full-fledged relationship, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just out here doing me because I know I got, like, my own shit I'm trying to do.
Right.
And I'm not about to be distracted by anything more than what this is. And so it's like, now, when we are together, yeah, I want to be able to have at least a simple conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
and not be, because I've been around women where it was just like, man, you might be the most annoying person on this earth.
Oh, facts.
If
absolutely.
You wasn't a half mile away and on this Wednesday
just
night.
Just convenient. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this shit ain't even worth it. But, you know, obviously as you get older and you get more stable and you're just like, all right, now I'm looking for something more real, someone else to help. Or you get to that level of maturity, like, all right, now I need to build with someone. Now, yeah, maybe all that other stuff comes secondary.
And all that shit is timing, too. Because, like, they, you know, I get tired of hearing, too, like, oh, he's 35 and he's out here still living like that. But, yo, in this situation that you're explaining, this man he's been married for 10 years. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, and he may have had a divorce or he's, you know, live with his baby moms or whatever. And this is just the point where he's at in his life where it's like, yo, I want to have fun. Women do it too. And so, like, the male bashing of it, like, for me, is tough because it's like, yo, we're just human beings just trying to live, trying to coexist. Now, I get it. I would argue now that maybe last 2 or 3 years, the relationship dynamics have changed to where women are doing what men do. And I feel like that's okay. You know, you should be able to have a great time because we've been hoes for a long time. You should be able to have a good time and we being men, you know, be able to have a good time and have nobody put any labels on you or nothing like that. You know what I mean? Go ahead, live free, be able to dictate whatever you want, have your own money. I'm all for that. You know what I mean? But also at the same token, I'm just looking at it from a perspective of, like, we don't spend enough time together to know each other. You know what I mean? As, like, how we are with our respective genders. You know? And with that being said, I think that men and women would both benefit of having female, you know, counterpart. I mean, female or male friends. My best friend is a female. Now, the dynamics have changed because she's married and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when we were younger and we would run around and rock and stuff, she would lend credence to certain things and situations that I wouldn't get from my male friends.
Yeah, no, but see, but that helps you become more well-rounded as you grow. And not everybody's going to be afforded that. Not everyone's going to be able to grow up around or have access to someone from the opposite gender that doesn't have that ulterior motive. I think it's a little more rare than you're giving it credit for, to where you can't just say, oh, well, you just need to go have some male friends and that'll help. It's like, yeah, it will, but if they getting shot at 10 times a day, like, that shit has got to be mentally exhausting to yeah. where it's like, damn, the search for just a male friend, especially if you're attractive, it's like, really, it's hard.
You
can't really you put that on them because you a lot of times it's like, yeah, it's like they trying or it's like, why even try? Because even if I think I got one, it's like come out later and it's probably a lesson you learned when you was younger. And it's like.
Yeah, because, you know, and I'm thinking, too, like, where would a woman go and meet a male friend?
Exactly. It's gotta be something like, you know.
Maybe work. Maybe the gym.
I wouldn't even trust the gym. I would trust something more like a work or like some type of
a family event or something.
Yeah, or if you're just cool with like, if you got like your homegirl or like your homegirl's got like, I don't even know.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like we have no problem of going to places that we know women are going to be at, right?
Yeah, I know tons of men that would like buy Bow Wow tickets back in the day. They was going to the Scream tour because they knew. I was like, "You trying to go see Bow Wow?" He's like, "No, I'm trying to go see."
So I gotta edit that. But why?
I thought we were speaking verbatim. That's what they told me. I didn't say.
But if I call old girl the word, I would have been able to be different.
I ain't say it.
I told her, "Get the fuck out of my face, Stanley." But I'm saying though, like, why can't women go to the basketball courts and hang out? You know,
they can. It's just
barbershop.
But see that three or four of them. That's not their fault. Maybe they want to go to the courts, but every time they go, hey, let's stop the game. Everyone just like shooting their shot. Like, I ain't trying. Like, you getting harassed constantly. I don't think you're not looking at it.
We should do a social experiment.
You're not looking at that. Ain't nobody going to harass me.
When the world opens up, we should do a social experiment.
If I go to a female swim meet just to watch them, they going to be like, damn, look at that creep. Ain't nobody going to be harassing me. But
especially
if
you standing in the stands alone or with G.
But if she come. But if she go to the basketball court, now everybody going to be doing their and one shit, trying to get their crossover off, shooting that shit from half court.
That's motivation right there. I'm saying a group of them. Let's say four or five women go to a basketball court, and they just like, yo, let's just go there to hang out, see what's up.
Right, and I'll tell
men
you.
Men do that.
I know. But what I'm saying is, if we go to whatever the vice versa is in the situation, to wherever the women are at, just to hang out,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to be constantly harassing us or trying to show off to make themselves look good in order for us to pursue them, because we want to pursue them anyway.
We're fucking up the animal kingdom right now.
If they go to the basketball court, we're going to try to pursue them first through our play on the court, and yes. then when it's done, it's like, what you doing? And she's just simply like, hey, I'm just trying to watch a pickup game. And you're going to look at him crazy. Like, well, what you trying to do after? I'm trying to talk to you. And it's like, I'm not trying to talk to nobody. I came here to watch a basketball game.
Yeah.
And that's not a plausible situation.
But it can be. That's what, like, we went
can
out.
Can it, though?
We went out Friday.
It can
I'm gonna
be
tell you, I'm gonna give
with
you. A story. I'm going to give you a story. We went out Friday, right? Now, obviously, I'm not married yet, so I don't walk around with no ring or nothing. My boy's not married, you know, none of them. But all three of us are in relationships, right?
Okay.
So we go to the bar specifically to go watch the Padres play, right? They asked me to go out. Cool. I'm an Angels fan. Watch the Padres game, whatever. So there's three girls at the bar. One is a larger woman. I ain't go front. The other one, you know, she was okay. And then the other one, she was, you know, she was a pretty girl. And they were sitting at the bar, and, you know, dudes were doing their rounds. And we stick out like a sore thumb. Three black dudes. Barley Mash, white bar in downtown or whatever, we gonna stick out. Look like he can't be in the military. They both got beards, so whatever they doing. So I go up to the bar, I go get a drink or whatever. The bartender, I'm not gonna make this a long-winded story, I gave y'all one earlier. Bartender knocks over his drink, or knocks over my drink on accident, right? After pouring it and paying and whatnot. And so I move fast. Again, I move fast because it missed me, right? But she was within maybe 4 feet of me. We weren't social distancing at the bar. It's all right. But I thought it hit her. So I asked her, hey, did it hit you? She said no. I said, okay. And I'm going to get to my point. So I come back to get another drink. And the whole time, like from the first drink to getting the second one, they were looking at us the whole time. Right? And I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, we had that one little shared experience where we talked because I thought the drink hit her. And now, like, she just been staring at me in the face, the larger one. Right? Didn't care who it was. It didn't matter.
But, I know who it was.
Yeah. But so my man's walks over, and the girl's like, what time is it? Now, mind you, all three of them have cell phones.
Yeah, of course.
Right? So he says the time like three times, and she can't hear him because it's loud as shit.
Right.
Right? And he just goes like this eventually. He just throw the watch down. And he's like, that's what time it is. Right? And he walks off. She's like, he has no game. That's the first thing she said. I'm sitting here looking like, yo, like, if you knew the conversation we was having over there where it was like, yo, why they keep staring at us? Like, he's not trying to shoot his shot at you, you know? But for you, game is, what time is it? But you have your phone.
Right.
That's poor male experiences. As much as they like to say we're bad at conversations and stuff like that, you rarely see a woman go out of her way and start in a conversation and stuff like, it's, the onus has always been on us to impress them. It's been on us to go and find them. But then in these isolated incidents that I'm telling you about, like women who now like maybe feel comfortable in this space, because I work in a female dominant profession, they feel comfortable talking about this stuff, right? It's like, oh, well, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Well, maybe because the way that you're going about it or the places that you're going to, if that's what you're seeking, isn't the place where you need to be at to find these gentlemen.
Right.
And that's on them. Because no, I feel like at the basketball court, you're going to run into a lot of demographics depending on what court you go to.
I know, but I'm trying to figure out exactly what your argument is, because I agree with that point totally. But then you talk about a male friend and this and that.
Yes, because if you have male friends, then you would know like ways to approach them or ways to have conversations and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, so the girl
comes on to you or whatever, you know that, hey, look, man, like if a woman comes on to you, fuck, now I done lost it a little bit. But if a woman comes on to you, you've probably had experiences around women and stuff like that, how to handle it, i.e. you were raised by a woman. You know what I mean? Mm. And maybe not be the best example or whatever, but you know that she's an emotional person. You got to lend to that. You know, and I also blame, like shout out to single moms out there, but I also feel like dads need to be in the home so that you're able to see that. So I'd be promoting that family, you know, like atmosphere, because then you're able to see it from the best of both worlds.
Well, I think the women that might thrive in these situations are ones that grew up around a bunch of brothers. Or, you know, one brother that had a ton of friends that was always around, because they get to peep game from the side.
Like
and
your
not
wife.
Really...
Your wife has a ton of brothers. And she can hold her own amongst the men.
All the time.
Yeah.
But it's like...
And those are great qualities.
Right. But I'm saying it's like she was fortunate to be around a bunch of brothers, a bunch of men, and see those experiences. Not every woman's going to have that.
Yeah, but you got to get it out the mud. Just like we all don't come from, like, big money balling backgrounds. But
I understand that. I'm just saying it is difficult when you talk about friends specifically, because it sounds like you were switching it back to someone you can be in a relationship with.
Right, because I'm saying that those experiences with men will help lend credence to how you can maneuver in a relationship type setting.
But that's them getting it out the mud is... It takes them longer, because if they don't have that, then they got to go through bullshit experience after bullshit experience till they finally get to the point where you're like, you know what? Because you know what's always going to happen is they're going to hit that, oh, my biological clock ticking. Mm. Then they're going to start taking a little more serious.
Yeah, and taking the lesser.
However they view it, but it's like settling or whatever, but it's just like, hey, if you ain't around the men experience, or you ain't got like some solid female friends that are telling you. Because in a lot of times, these situations where you're like, oh, well, you attracting the wrong people, there's a lot of times they have female friends that are telling them every single time, yo, this dude ain't shit.
Yeah,
or
why they, you put up with this? The same choices.
And they ain't listening.
Their homegirls make the same bad choices.
Nah, there's got to, sometimes, a lot of times, there's at least one solid one that's in a relationship that's like being held down. And they're just like, nah, it depends on where you at in your life, man.
We need a female co-host to argue that next time. We'll call up a female next time. Maybe somebody will be enraged by what I said and want to jump on. It typically happens that way, man. All right, man. Let's we'll do two more things, because we're already hour and 12 in, man.
Oh yeah, let's get out of here. I probably got some longer three cheers and whatnot.
Yeah. Lex put this on here, but I thought it was interesting, so I'm gonna leave it on there. All right. This is Read 'em and Weep. Black man enslaved. Oh man, courts in session now.
I forgot I threw that up there.
Yeah, man, it's cool.
I left it there too.
I was shit. Like, no, I never read the story. I just seen the headline. I was
This shit sounds wild. I never read it either.
It captured me. Black man enslaved by white restaurant owner. Damn, I didn't even know that was a tongue twister. Owner should be awarded more than 500,000 court rules. John Christopher Smith, who has intellectual disabilities, was forced to work at South Carolina restaurant for over 100 hours a week without pay for 5 years. A black man with intellectual disabilities should be awarded more than $500,000 after he was enslaved for 5 years at a South Carolina restaurant, a court ruled. Bobby Edwards, who was white, pleaded guilty in June 2018 to one count of forced labor for using violence and other coercive means to make John Christopher Smith work at his restaurant for more than 100 hours a week without pay, the U.S. Department of Justice previously said. As a part of his guilty plea, Edwards was sentenced to 10 years in prison and was ordered to pay Smith $272,000 in restitution. However, a court ruled last month that the amount should be doubled and Smith should receive $545,000. In the April 21st ruling, the U.S. Court of Appeals of the Fourth Circuit stated that the initial amount decided by the court had erred in refusing to include liquidated damages in its order of restitution. Now, reading that, you've read it already, right?
No, I never read it.
Oh, so you never read it.
I saw the headline, and I was like, ooh, let me just put that up there. I'll get to it, and I forgot about it.
Now, here's the thing. White restaurant owner, black man. That's cool, right? I get it. I'm going to be outraged about it. It's a racial time and everything. But here's the deal. We've been doing it to the kids in Mexico, in Japan, or in China for forever because Nike is enslaving these youth. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. I saw like enslaved, and I was like, 2021? That shit's crazy.
That shit is nuts.
Let me just throw that in there.
The difference is, like, those kids were getting paid pennies to the dollar. This guy was out here working 100 hours a week,
open
man.
Open to close.
Open to close. That means he was 7 days a week for free.
He was just there.
Yo. And this is where, like people, I'm starting to learn. I'm starting to get cynical about the world, right? If I hadn't already been in the first place. But, like, I just don't feel like people always have your best intentions. You know what I mean? At heart. You know, this guy, somebody coming in might see this man talking to this young man. He's got disabilities. He's obviously delayed. It's like, oh, he's offering him an opportunity. But yeah. For 5 years, you know what I mean? Bro is, you know, 12 years a slave.
Like, I was like, damn, it's unfortunate. He ain't got nobody, no family, nobody around him that's like, how is it that not being caught? Like, you're gone all day long. You come back. You say you're at work or whatever, however it goes, like, you have no money, though. Someone should have caught that early.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he don't got nobody.
Yeah. Which is sad.
Yeah.
Like radio almost.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking.
It's the first thing. How about this one, Kojo? But the other thing is, too, is like, you know, you read the headlines. I wonder if this man is getting his money, though. I know a lot of people court ordered to pay child support and you still hear stories. Hey, 15 years, I never got a check, you know, then he got a job and I'm still getting it. My kid's 25. Yep. But this man is in jail working on, you know, wheelchairs for $2 an hour. That's getting sold for $300 outside of the, you know, prison. But how is he going to pay that unless the government seized all of his stuff and paid that man out in cash? But how often does that happen?
Right.
Like you read that in the headline, but shit, we might hear 5 years later, like, yeah, he was a slave 10 years ago and still hasn't gotten his money back.
OJ never gave it up.
Never got his restitution or anything like that, man. To me, I just thought that was nuts, man. All right, man, let's get into some shit you wasn't outside for, and then we getting up out of here, man. We gave y'all a deep, deep conversation. We went off topic. No hip hop because Lex didn't put nothing in there.
I did put something in there. Damn, that was probably a good one too.
All right, we can still.
Nah, I was too. Fuck it.
Yeah, man, come on, because you know the time lane. Shit, you wasn't outside for. You remember Where's Waldo?
Let's just do one because I do need to go back to hip hop. I do.
We'll do two.
Just do one. Where's Waldo? Boom. I found him. Little motherfucker with the red and white stripes.
Oh, man. But I thought it was dope because they had him on lunchboxes, thermoses, and stuff like that. Most people probably don't even know anything about that or whatever.
I only seen the books.
That was it?
I didn't know he had...
He was on, like, lunchboxes and everything.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like I said, I had the same backpack from 1997 all the way to college, so I didn't do much thermos and lunchbox shopping.
That wasn't your thing. I got one that you can't say no to, and then we'll get the hip-hop. Open chest.
Open chest.
Look at the old face lit up.
Not a fun game.
Yeah, oh, man. Or body shots.
Or birthday hits.
Slug bug. That was another one.
Yeah.
Dude, we were meeting. Ball tapping was another thing for us for a while. Did you ever participate? I don't see you instinctively going out and hitting someone in the nuts.
I mean, it was probably more reactive.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we playing this, huh?
Somebody hits you and he's like, yo, I got to get my restitution.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm getting all that I came for.
Yeah, open chest. No one ever wanted to play with me because I was a big dude. You know what I mean? Like, they...
A lot of chest.
We always...
Yeah, but shit.
Oh, man.
And I was probably younger coming up in that situation. There was a lot... So, obviously, kids a little older and a little more developed. Shit, I ain't one shot caved my shit in. I ain't hit 100 pounds since seventh grade. I'm
crying, man. Oh, man. He said one shot. Dude, you know, the one thing about those games, what we were talking about a little bit back, like earlier on, a lot of those games were to impress women.
Were they?
Except for the nuts.
You was
shot.
Out here ball tapping for...
Lex wanted us to start out here selling ball shaving products, man. Talk about what you think.
I did not say
what you think. Should we go? I said, man, look, we not selling no ball products.
I knew he was out here attracting the advertisements. Shout out to.
Oh man, now I'm saying that like outside of the ball tapping, open chest body shots, you know, slap boxing or whatever. Like that was a way to like seem cool in front of women. It's almost like, you know, when two male peacocks go at it to try to go get the big beautiful peacock.
Nah, I feel like open chest and stuff. I was playing around like a cul-de-sac. Ain't no women around. Like I don't know what you're talking about.
Now you from the school of hard knocks, then. That's completely different. All right, man. We'll breeze through it again, man. Today in hip hop.
Yeah, and honestly, because I ain't looked on the things actually for today, but it was so important. Once I just seen it right now, we got to talk about 30-year anniversary of Ice Cube's first solo project. America's Most Wanted, classic. 30 years in the game.
I don't know if it's in heavy rotation right now.
I don't expect you to have it in heavy rotation.
Oh, that's where we're going down?
No, I mean, if the album's 30 years old, it's probably not in heavy
rotation. I haven't listened to it in a while, but I do, you know, respect... Here we go with the slide. I do, you know, respect Cube's work and his vision and his contribution to
Ice
the game.
Cube had a run, and Mark has this theory, which...
He's still on a run.
I mean, yeah, different run, but when you talk about a musical run, like... He said, you know what? If Ice Cube would have died in 94, he'd be in a higher place than Tupac ever was.
I don't even want to touch that, but that's crazy.
Because, you know...
Like, when he said it, no, he's... I feel like he has a point, though. That's what I'm saying.
No, the point is like, oh, we elevate people when they die, and, you know...
Which is sad.
Not that Tupac wasn't talented and all this and that, but, like, Cube's run... From 88 to 90... 5-6-ish is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you die towards the end of a run like that, you know, put in maybe perspective for you.
It's hard, though, because Dre, I feel like, is the same. You could put Dre in that same category.
I know, but I'm saying, but when he's a, I'm saying, I say Tupac specifically because he's gone.
Right.
Like, okay. Obviously, Cube is put, he's already, he's
yeah,
up
but for,
there.
For Mark to say Cube means that he has a very high respect for Cube.
That's his favorite.
Right. So meaning that you're disregarding there's a few other legends from that time period that could be slated.
That's not what he's saying, though. No, no, but see, at that point... No, I mean, there's some people, but it's like, nah, Cube, as far as that early run, like, you're not really topping that. Like, Snoop had a bigger album, but he didn't have a run like that. Now, he became iconic and all that, but we're talking about, like, the musical run. And then Dre was involved in a lot of projects, but he didn't have like his own shit, or his shit spread out so far in between.
Yeah, like the Chronics and everything.
It's like specifically. And how I thought about that? It, and I'm like, dang, like that's real spiel right
when
there.
When would you say the start of Q's run is year, and then the 88 end of it till
like 95, 96, depending on, you know, how lenient you are with the West Side Connection album or how much you like Lethal Injection.
Yeah, if you can put out two classic albums or two really good albums and that span over maybe 5 or 6 years, that's a successful rap career.
Exactly. So and for his point, I'm talking about Straight Outta Compton. Mm-hmm. The album that we're talking about now, America's Most Wanted, which most people are going to put as a classic.
Right.
Death Certificate, which most people say is Cube's best album, a classic. Predator and Lethal Injection are probably more personal classics to a lot of people, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And then he did the Friday movie with the soundtrack, and then he put out the first West Side Connection album, which a lot of people have is pretty close to classic.
Yeah.
And then after that, I don't know what he started doing.
Movies.
Musically. But yeah. Shout out to Cube, man. Like, it's, you know, even though I wasn't outside for it, you know, I was 2-3 years old, so I obviously had to discover it a little later, but I started pretty early enough in my life to where it's a staple for me growing up. But and more in tune with the theme of our show, the reason I didn't want to skip it is because Grindin' came out.
Yeah, I see
released
that
as a single this week, and I was like, oh, let's not skip it, because obviously the time frame. A lot of times that we talk about during this show, grinding was in '02 was a staple in all of our schools. And then so everyone had that. Everyone, when this came out, and obviously I'm not talking about the album. I'm talking about like this single just dropped. The video came out, and this was the one where if you had a high school, I'm pretty sure every high school had people that freestyle. This is a beat they wanted to freestyle to, and this is something that everyone can do on the lunch tables.
Right. You had a pen or a pencil, and you held the pen. Everybody held the pencil the same way. So you ready to drop it. You got your index finger and your thumb hitting it, and then you flip it right there.
And because of it, it was like, dang, like, you was really trying to break the shit out the table, too. The lunch table, the little bullshit desk you had in the class.
That fan base is what has really been strong for the Clips this whole time, and specifically, I would say, for not Malice.
Man.
Come on.
I'm not even going to help
you. It's my brain. It's not that I'm looking at his face right now.
You was in Florida too long.
I just said Malice. Most people don't even know his brother.
I feel like...
Most people.
Okay. Well, it's been a while.
Yeah. Help me out.
Pusha T,
man. I wanted to say Shock G so bad. I don't know why.
Oh, my God.
No, but I'm not seeing Shock G. I'm seeing Pusha T when I'm saying it. I know the whole thing, Kanye, the whole Virginia thing. You know,
okay.
Timberland. One thing I wanted before we get out of here, because I did ask you this yesterday, and most people don't understand this, is that a friend of mine asked me yesterday, and this is why I text messaged you, and I gave him an answer, but I had never looked it up because I just knew automatically. He was like, yo, what's the difference between hip-hop and rap? And I could see where people can get confused in this conversation, because you can look at a playlist and it'll say hip-hop, you know, or it'll say rap.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you have the honors of explaining the difference of the two, because when he asked me, I gave him the answer that you gave me, and then it made more sense to him. So kind of lend some credence to it.
So hip hop is a culture. It's a way of life.
Mm.
Rap is a part of that culture.
Yeah.
So hip hop.
That's all right.
Hip hop is four base elements, which is MCing or rapper. You got the DJ. You got the break dancer, the b-boy, and then you got the graffiti artist.
Right.
And then everything is built around that.
And so
that's hip-hop, and that's just an element of it.
So do you feel like the culture of hip-hop, which I know the answer to this, but maybe we can like explain it a little bit. Do you feel like the culture of hip-hop has changed since its roots?
Well, of course.
Like, graffiti is not... Like, when I thought about that, graffiti is no longer a part of
people
that.
People get it mixed up because rap is the most popular and the driving force right now of hip-hop. But back when hip-hop was starting, it was all... First, the DJ was way more important than the rapper.
Like the producers now?
No, yes and no.
Okay.
Because DJing and producing is two totally different things.
Right, but I'm saying like they're synonymous for their era. Like it's important to have a good DJ. Like you remember when Big went off on his DJ, I can't think of his name either. When at one time they were, I think it was like Summer Jam, and he kept messing up the scratch. He's like, come on, man, you messing up my shit right now, man.
Right, but...
Just like a producer, though, like you need a producer is the one that who's hot right now, who's making good beats or whatever. Guys tend to stick to that same producer for a project or for like a moment of time to like get their music up. Same thing like with a DJ. Like, you know, like you have this DJ because it works best for the product that you're putting out.
All right, but see, the DJ was just, he was controlling the crowd with the records he was playing. And there wasn't a lot of rap records out. So it was like, oh, and then once they found the break beats, the MCs would come up and the DJ would make sure to get to the part where they're doing the break beats so they can rap. And then they became, you know, that little 1-2 punch. But then you have, when it was underground, like graffiti, breakdancing or b-boying on outside or in the park or whatever. And then as it grown, like you said, less people are gravitating towards the graffiti, or the graffiti has to stay kind of underground because it's illegal.
Right.
And then, you know, b-boying, I still see b-boys, there's still people breakdancing, but it's just not as popular. Everybody wants to be a rapper.
Yeah.
Some people still want to be a DJ and everything, but everybody wants to be a rapper.
And not the other way around.
And then so it's like, yeah, what's the difference between...
It was graffiti, DJ, and the dancing aspect.
Yeah.
And the dancing aspect is still pretty much there. That's why you got song titles with dancing in it. You know, left foot up, right? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I went there with it.
I don't think the Tootsie Slide is for the B-Boys.
These are the bricks. Yes. Yeah, you know, Mark gonna get pissed. All right, let's get the hell up out of here, man. We good, we good. I'm glad we was able to have that conversation. There we go. I don't have a three cheers, but you should.
Yeah.
I know what it is. So go ahead, get it out. Get that man. I know you're going to do it. I know. I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm saying, like, because mine would be what yours is. And that's important.
So we do going to have a collective three cheers for the Hall of Fame enshrinement.
Amen. See, there we go.
Individuals.
I hope we never lose this. Look, if you ever want to see 400,000, I'll show you the 400,000. You know what I mean? Because, like,
are you surprised I showed up today? After a little vacation?
Nah, I knew you was coming back. You love this shit, man.
Yeah, man. You know, KG, Kobe, Tim Duncan, all the awards they put out. I was confused yesterday. Like, I never really watched the Hall of Fame like that. Like, I'll catch the speeches later or whatever. But obviously, this one was a little different. They had to do things different. But this was a crazy class, from what I can remember. It made me feel a lot older, too. You know, because, I mean, You were in a group chat having a basketball argument that you still losing.
I still think it's valid, but it's all right.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to see people like me and then people that I grew up with seeing our favorite players being enshrined into the Hall of Fame.
That you grew up on.
It's like, fuck, like, we old.
Yeah.
Because not only did they have long careers, but then they have to wait 5 years to be eligible. So it's like, damn, they've been out the game that long.
Yeah, because, like, Tim Duncan was in the league for, what, more than 15 years, right?
No, yeah. He was in there 18? Yeah, 18.
So that's a span of 24 years that we're talking about of them being, like, your favorite player. And, like, waiting.
Or just around and just, or just being a dominant force in a game that you...
crazy
you
with the dreads right now.
But I prefer that because otherwise he's on TV with no haircut and the widow's peak. Like, damn, bro, you are rich. You are the NBA MVP.
Bro, and you are the widow's peak, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch it. I've been doing some house shit this week. I've been trying to catch up on sleep and everything. But I did know that it was there. My dad came over yesterday. But and I didn't want to be sad. Like, I ain't even front with you.
Yeah,
like,
that shit was... That was I watched the whole, like, the gala before. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you good.
But it's like they were doing all these media people. And like, even the media people that was like, damn, Mike Wilbon got on. Like, pardon the interruption. There was a span of, like, after I left Nickelodeon and, like, kid shit where I didn't watch TV. I was always outside or doing something. The only show I ever really watched was Pardon the Interruption.
Yeah.
Still to this day, I watch it. I don't miss any episodes, especially once DVR came out. Because before then, I had to, like, run home from the bus. And I was like, damn, 2:30 is going to be a stretch.
Yeah,
like class exactly. Get out at 1:58.
You live at the bottom.
And
of
I'm at the bus, like, yo, get this shit rolling. drop the bottom off first. And I'm out, get up, catch the
Wait,
first
there's
one.
Wait, there's a bottom drop off? I only knew the one on top of Paradise
it was
Valley
two. It was two different buses.
That's crazy.
And then, so to see him get in, seeing Mike Breen get in, people that we still hear talking. And then they created a whole brand new award just to give to Inside the NBA, like, well-deserved. But, like, who are you going to give that shit to next year? And then once I was like, what's going on? Like, I thought it was supposed to be five people getting in. And then you get to it. And then even those people were all, they were mentioning him. And I'm like, damn. I was like, I was already getting emotional. And then so when he got to that point, and I thought Jordan was going to speak. And so he didn't. And then obviously when I seen, or even at the pre-show, when Vanessa put the jacket on the oldest daughter, I was like, damn. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for this. But since I'm already here, let me just knock this out and go ahead and go.
Wait, so Jordan didn't give a speech?
Nah, they're just there to present. They're there to, like, I guess, be moral support. Like, they're not there to talk.
I really thought that he was giving a speech though. That's what I was told this whole time. So
nah, Vanessa did. But
how did she do?
I mean, she did great. She was just like, yeah, normally he would have a long list of people to thank, but he's not here to do that. So I'm just gonna sit here and I'm gonna thank him for all the stuff that he's done, all the lives he's touched, and all the generations he's inspired.
Shout out to her, though. She's been out here advocating for
herself. She's been holding it down. I was sitting there, and I was like, why is Lala in the front row? I guess she was her date. I was like, why she get the front row?
We're probably good friends.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They grew up in the same area.
I didn't know that, though, until then. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because I just seen her last week. She was
but you always follow her husband. And
she was at Disneyland with Sierra and Russell Wilson. Mm. So she be out here.
Yeah, man. Shout out to her, man. Shout out to Kobe and everything.
I ain't talking about their business no more. Yeah. But yeah, shout out to them. Like, obviously, that's a big class, and it was very sad because it's like, damn, like, he's supposed to be there.
Yeah, man. That's what hurt the most, man. I was just like, you know what? It's been a good week. I don't feel like being sad right now, but that's going to hit me hard. Lex ain't going to never end this with no R&B, so I'm going to give it to him like this. We ain't homies.
Oh, man. We
this is actually the name of the song.
Actually, you know what I was going to? I got to play my man song, like No Payola. Some R&B.
Oh, man. We gotta
I'll do that later.
We'll do that next hip-hop segment when we get a nice run through. This was another episode of You Wasn't Outside, episode 38. We'll be back next week. Hopefully the weather is better. We'll be outside. I still don't know where the hell we're going.
For real.
But we got 2 events that we're doing. We're going to be pulling up to Juneteenth. So let's get that Saturday off. Tell the wife now.
That's a holiday in our house.
Yes, and then we're also going to the Soul Swap Meet. We're going to be interviewing the woman there, so that's going to be dope.
Juneteenth is a great day in this city, especially just because of our area code.
Yes.
So it's like double whammy.
And even on top of that,
give me space, I need to stack up.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
You a non-fucking factor. I done passed ya. I done came a long way since the X Factor. Hey, where were you when we was broke? Eating ramen noodles from the corner store.